Greetings and welcome to. Welcome to Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey, where we discuss deep theological issues to help others with conversions, decision-making, and as we progress through our faith. So if you guessed it, you were right. I'm actually not Jose Dorsey, but we are one. My name is Sierra Dorsey. I'm Jose's wife, and I will be your guest host on today. Jose has many, many, many hats that he wears, so I just ask that you lift him up in prayer today as he is out fulfilling some of his other duties, and lift me up in prayer too, guys, because I am so nervous right now. I just ask that you forgive me in advance for anything. I realize that I got some really big shoes to fill, so that's just making me kind of nervous, but the show must go on, and to God be the glory. I'm truly honored that Jose has entrusted me with this platform. Do my very best with it. So I just want to acknowledge that we are brought to you today by Center of Spirit and Truth, where we champion the cause of Christ and truly seek to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I want to personally welcome you, if you're local in Michigan, to come and worship with us. We are located in Detroit at 17609 Livernois, right inside of Skillsville. We hold worship service at 11 a.m., and we actually don't even do worship for a long time, guys. It's a really relaxed congregation that's full of love, and it would just be our honor to see your face in the place. But if you're not local, you can always join us on our Facebook Live. We do a live broadcast. You can join us there. We're listed under Center of Spirit and Truth. We would love to see, you know, you pressing some likes or some loves, even leaving some feedback that we can respond to. Or if you have any ministry opportunities that you want us to get involved with, or you just want to reach out to us directly, you can reach us at 313-221-7600. Jose is very relatable. You call that phone, he will answer. He might call you back, but he will get back there to you, and he will be eager and honored to serve. So just a brief tidbit about myself. On the side of my first job as a wife and mom, I work at the Michigan Department of Corrections as a substance abuse counselor. I also operate a private practice in Westland, Michigan, Elevated Counseling and Coaching, where I provide mental health services from a Christian perspective. One of the things that I find that comes up both inside of the corrections as well as in private practice is concerns involving anxiety. What is it? Get rid of it. Why is this happening to me? So that's just what I want to talk to you about today. What are some effective tools we can take a look in the Bible and see how we can deal with our anxiety? But first, before I go any further or get in any kind of trouble, can we just bow our heads and pray? Eternal God, our Father, Lord, we just reverence you today. Lord, you're so awesome, so wonderful, and your power and strength is incredible, God. Lord, right now, I just ask that you forgive us of anything in our minds and in our hearts or in our behavior, God, that is not like you. Lord, we ask that you cleanse us. If there be any sins of omission that need to be revealed to us, God, would you for us right now and help us to turn away from them and run toward you. Lord, we thank you for your everlasting love that comforts us, your grace that helps us, and your word that guides us, God. Thank you for being such a great, great God. Lord, I pray for your people today, that they remember whose they are, and that they call upon you in every situation, and that they're humble enough, Lord, to just wait on your command. Lord, many of us are hurting. It feels like we're under a constant, rigorous attack. God, there's troubles in our nation, in our relationships, our jobs, schools. God, there's even troubles in our church. Lord, will you help us to just give it over to you, trust you, rid us of these anxieties or any worries that we may have. Remind us, God, that you have the final say, and you've already declared that the battle is won. So, God, give us your eyes and give us your strength so that we can move with a bold confidence. For you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And we ought to act as such. So we just trust you today. We believe you. And in the mighty name of God, amen. So anxiety, what is it? You know that feeling that you get inside, that worry, that uneasiness about a circumstance or a situation or an event that's upcoming where there's some level of uncertainty. To some degree, we've all experienced it. How am I going to pay for this? What does this look like? God, how am I going to talk for 30 minutes on a live radio show with a day's notice? Help me, God. So then we start to rehearse those thoughts in our mind. We come up with different plays for every scenario. Okay, so if this, then this, and if that, then that. Okay, I got this, and here's my plan A, and here's my plan B through Z. Uh-huh, I got it. And then sometimes we can do that to the point where we cause some type of physiological responses, like lack of sleep, because we're going over this in our mind over and over again. Changing eating habits. Nah, I don't want to eat. I got to figure this thing out. Or what about just altogether avoiding? You know, yep, that show's coming up tomorrow. I really don't want to deal with the pressure of trying to figure it out, so I'm just going to put it off to the last minute. Yeah, we do that. Or how about we're so consumed with these, with this event or these circumstances that now we're slacking in some of our responsibilities. I really should be doing, I've still got to figure this thing out, so I'm just going to forego that. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. And it's when we get to that level of engagement that in my field, they call that an anxiety disorder. Anxiety disorder is actually one of the most common mental illnesses today that over 40 million adults are working with. It's also highly treatable. But yet only 36% of people will actually get some type of treatment. And I believe the reason for that is because it's one of those things where we're told that you're tripping. Some of our believers in Christ, there may be some kind of shame or guilt in that. Oh, you have anxiety? You must not trust God. It must be an issue of your faith. That's another topic. I'm not going to go there. Maybe Jose will have me back and we can talk about that. But a secular understanding of the root of anxiety disorder, it's incomplete. We're not exactly sure. Maybe it's some genetic factors. Maybe it's some environmental factors. We're just not sure. But they do have an array of evidence-based research treatment that's really shown to be effective. So we have things like cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, where you deal short-term, one-on-one, what's the problem, how are you processing things, what are your thoughts about these things, and how can we shift them so that you're more effective in your day-to-day activity and you increase satisfaction in life. Or you can go psychotherapy, which is a little bit more long-term. We stretch that out because we want to kind of take a look further back at some of your patterns and your behaviors throughout your life to see what, if any, if there's an underlying cause that may be having you deal with these issues of anxiety. And then we want to try to look at that and see how we can regulate and manage those to increase your satisfaction in your interpersonal relationship. And, okay, now I'm about to say a bad word to some of my believers, and I don't have time to defend myself, but feel free to email me your respectable concerns and complaints to elevatedcounselingandcoaching@gmail.com or message me on the church Facebook page. But medication for my believers don't like that word because the only thing we want to prescribe is prayer. But medication in conjunction with therapy has shown to be very effective in relieving some symptoms of anxiety. But let me jump out of my DSM, my Diagnostic Statistical Manual. Like, let me jump out of science and let me jump into my BIBLE, God's Manual. There's quite a few examples of some pretty prominent people that dealt with anxiety. We can see that. How about Brother Moses? He was anxious about speaking to Pharaoh, even after he got pretty much a direct order from God. How much more empowering do you need than to get a direct order from God? But he still was worried. Who am I to do this? So he showed some of his anxieties. And even when he was leading the people, he was anxious about that. Or what about Brother David, King David, a man after God's own heart? If you read the Psalms, oh, man, you can see all through there his bouts of anxiety, or how he was fearing things, and he was consumed by these things. But yet David still trusted in the Lord. But he was honest about what was going on. He had some anxiety, symptoms of anxiety going all through the Psalms. Go read it. The world may not claim to know the root of anxiety, but as believers, we do. We often find that sin and the enemy and his wicked devices is at the root of our anxiousness, of our anxiety. That's where it is, because it's not God-like. So it must be the enemy and his tricks that's causing us to be anxious. But God, with his great self, he said he's not going to never leave us nor forsake us. He provided us with the blueprint, the roadmap to success. Like, this is real CBT, like Christ-like behavior. That's some good CBT right there. Much of it is just right in our faces, 12 and 24 through 34, and I'm going to paraphrase here. It basically flat out just says, stop worrying, I got it. If I took care of the birds and I'm taking care of the grass and stuff, like, I love you, man. Why are you worried? I got you. That's what it says. But then there's other scriptures where we kind of got to closely examine them, and we can find some hidden jewels in there that we might have missed at first glance. So I want to offer you a perspective on a popular verse that deals with anxiety. So turn with me, to Philippians 4, and we're going to deal with 4 through 9. So while you're grabbing your Bibles or grabbing your app and you flip into it, I'm going to give you a little bit of context, because if you can't be found, you got to sit down. So the book of Philippians is a prison epistle. Paul was writing a letter from prison, anticipating his release. And this letter was to show his appreciation and love to the Philippians. It was a thank you letter for their continued support. They was putting money on his books. They was holding him down while he was down. And Paul was grateful. So he was sending letters to encourage them and their growth. So the passage that we are going to deal with is giving us some nuggets concerning joy, prayer, how we think, and how we live. So I just read, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanks, let your requests be made known. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brother, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. That's good stuff right here, okay? As a psychologist, this is good stuff for me to see because it supports what I do. And it is mindfulness, it's CBT, it's all kinds of interventions that psychology tries to introduce as their own, but it's right here in the Word of God. So I just get excited when I see that support from God's Word. That's gold to me, okay? But I digress. Okay. Here's what I want to highlight. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind." So now you have thankfully made your request known to God, and he gives you his peace. He gives you a piece of him, and yes, that is wonderful, because even a little bit of Jesus is great thing. It's great to have. So do this for me. Take a deep breath. Hold it. Let it go. Now I want you to take another deep breath and hold it for about 3 seconds, and when you let it go, I just want you to just exaggerate that exhale. Drop those arms to your side and just really let it go. Inhale. Don't that feel good? I can imagine that's what it feels like to get a piece of God, to get his peace. Just like, okay, God, you know I got this radio show coming up, and I don't really know how I'm going to talk for 30 minutes, but I'm trusting you, and I'm letting it go. Whew. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he gives me that peace. So now I want you to jump down to verse 9 with me, and that says, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, we didn't move out of our prayer closet, and we didn't move into our, so we're moving forward with this thing, and we're trusting God, and we're identifying ways in our lives that we see his hand moving for our good, even in our difficult situations. And here's the hidden jewel here. There's just a slight change in the sentence. Instead of saying, "a peace of God will be with you," it says, "the God of peace will be with you." Now, that's a little different there. I want you to take your arms in, wrap them around yourself. And maybe you just rock back and forth. Take your hands and rub them up and down on your arms and just squeeze real tight. I can imagine it. That's what it would feel like to have the God of peace be with you. There's a level of security. There's a level of comfort and soothing that's there because I'm in this thing with you, okay? I'm here. I'm with you. It's me and you. I don't know about y'all. And y'all could call me selfish. Or y'all could call me ungrateful or whatever you want to say. You deal with that in your prayer closet. But while I will accept the peace of God, I want the God of peace. Let me bring it out of the supernatural and bring it into the natural for you. Okay. Get that person in mind who you think would be a really good asset if you could get some tips and some tools from him to whatever it is that you want to do in life, right? Whether it's in your personal life, your business life, think about that person. Now, imagine if that person wrote you a book and said, "Okay, well, here's a how-to on how I did it, and this is what I think will be beneficial for you to know so that you can do the same thing that I did. And I'm going to sign it. I'm going to autograph it. I'm going to put your name in it, a nice little message. I'm going to send it to you." Text message, they slid in your DM, a message on Facebook or however they got a hold of you and said, "Hey, I actually want to pull up so we can do this thing together. I know I got some information that you can use and it's going to be really helpful. And I actually just want to support you and be in this with you." Which one you going to choose? I think the answer is obvious, but, Maybe you won't, but maybe you will. Maybe you're greedy and you say, I want both. But that's good because God says you can have it both. You can have the peace of God which surpasses man's understanding, and you can have the God of peace right there with you. All he wants is our obedience. Here's the beautiful thing about our God. He don't write checks that he can't cash. He do not write bad checks. If it's in his word and he says that's what he will do, you can trust and believe that that's gold right there. You just got to do your part. You got to do your part. So that's my tidbit on how we can deal with issues of anxiety. You know, we have to trust in God and we give those petitions over to him. And then we've got to move beyond that. We got to walk it out. Once he gives us that relief and that peace, that just helps us to move to the next step where we are strong enough to walk this thing out and believing in him for what he says that he's going to do in our lives. And he will provide. Because he can't fail us. Then he wouldn't be God. If he could fail, he would not be God. And as believers, we know that he's going to come through. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's my 7 cent school, long enough to have more than two. And 7 is the number of completion. So that's all I got. My name is Sierra Dorsey, and I'm sitting in for Jose Dorsey. We're brought to you by the Center of Spirit and Truth. If you want to know more about this awesome God that we speak of, call us at 313-221-7600 or reach out to us on Facebook, Center of Spirit and Truth, and we'll be more than happy to continue this conversation with you or answer any additional questions that you may have about the God of peace. Yes, the God of peace. If you or someone that you know are in need of counseling with a Christian perspective to serve you, you can visit my website at elevatedcounselingandcoaching.com, or you can call me directly also at 734-956-0616. I hope that something that I said today was helpful to you. I hope that God was glorified in what I had to say today. And I just want to go ahead and close this out in prayer. Eternal God, our Father, thank you for giving us a blueprint, a roadmap on how to be successful, God. Lord, we are just in awe of you that you would give yourself for us. You loved us so much that you so that we may have eternal life. God, we just thank you. We thank you, God, for forgive us for having unbelief or doubt, God. Lord, I ask you to protect the listeners of this message from the enemy's traps to try to get them anxious or to worry. Because you said that you already got it taken care of. Just remind them of your promises. Equip them with your power and your might so that they can walk in their victory. Lord, I pray right now for that individual who is yearning for you, who is seeking you. Would you just reveal yourself to him right now, oh God? God, I pray for those who may be bereaved during this time. God, your word says that you are a comforter for those who are bereaved. Would you wrap your loving arms around them? Lord, I also want to pray for our children. I pray that as they're on their way to school and as they're in school, God, that you just send your angels to encamp all around them. Protect them, God. They are our future. God, I pray right now for families. It's clear that the enemy just doesn't like the family structure, God. He has a problem with it because it's such a powerful tool for the kingdom, God. The way you've designed the family structure is amazing, and it's a threat to the enemy. So as he's attacking, God, would you just strengthen them and to lean on you, because we know that your kingdom will be glorified as we just follow the plans that you have for the family structure. God, I pray for our leaders, the leaders of our nation, and the leaders of our church, God, that you just give them godly wisdom as they're fulfilling their duties, that they submit themselves completely unto you, Lord God. And then those decisions that they make, we know that they will be beneficial because they have surrendered unto you. God, I am trusting you. I'm believing you. And I know that the more we continue to seek you, the more you will continue to bless us. And God, although the journey ahead of us is not going to be all glittery and just full of joys and no hardships, God, but we trust you to be there with us. Thank you for being the God of peace. And thank you for walking with us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for listening, guys. I love you. God bless, and amen.